So as you know, the five members of the 2018 Canadian World Junior Hockey Championship team charged with sexual assault made their first appearance in court yesterday. Brief. First appearances typically are. They'll be back in court in April, end of April. I think it's the 30th was the date that was set. Hamna Anwar is a criminal defense lawyer with Lindsay Law. She joins us now to talk about this case and give us some insight as to what we might expect as we go forward. Hamna, thanks so much for being here today. I really do appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Let's just start with yesterday's first appearance. Pretty standard, right? I think people were probably expecting a lot more to happen, but a first appearance, I mean, they appeared virtually. They weren't in the courtroom. Pleas weren't even entered. That's typically how a first appearance goes, right? Nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah, first appearances are generally very uneventful. Normally, the accused don't attend themselves. The lawyers can file designations of counsel, which allows them to attend on behalf of their clients.
So the purpose of that first appearance is basically just to get the charges entered into the record? Like, no pleas were even entered? I mean, what's the purpose of that first appearance?
Generally, the first appearance is when the case starts, and if someone is not represented, that the court wants to ensure that someone will be getting lawyers. So the purpose is generally to tell the court whether you're self-representative or you have a lawyer. And generally, you get a status of disclosure, which we heard yesterday, that the accused will be getting substantive disclosure up until the next first date.
In terms of where we go from here, the next appearance is scheduled for April. Will that be different? What can we expect to happen then?
So generally after the first court date, lawyers start to receive disclosure, which is all the evidence the Crown has against the accused, including any statements from the complainant, any audios and videos, police officer notes, 911 calls, anything and everything. So during this time, the lawyers will start reviewing the disclosure and generally discuss it with their clients. At this stage, the lawyers may be prepared to do the next stage, which is a Crown pretrial, which is a meeting with the Crown about the case. It's done in the absence of the accused and it's off the record. So at the next stage, we can expect that a Crown pretrial could be scheduled or it may have been conducted.
Gotcha. Okay, now I was hearing some reports yesterday that it could be 2 years before this case actually goes to trial. To me, and I'll defer to your expertise here, that seems like a really long time. Is that what you're hearing too?
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if the case gets dragged into 2025 leading up to 2026, because depending on which way the case goes, and it sounds like it may be headed towards trial, we will likely be in the summer by the time the Crown pretrial is done, and after that, a judicial pretrial. And at that stage, if all the parties are ready to set the matter down for trial, trials are generally not available up until a year out of when they're being scheduled. That's because of court availability and parties availability. So I have a strong feeling this will get dragged into sometime 2025 and possibly into 2026.
What about the fact we've got five players that are charged? Do we know at this point, and how do we determine how they'll be tried? As in, will they be tried individually? Are they all tried together? Does that make a difference? How does that process typically work?
So we don't have enough information at this stage to know if the Crown is proceeding on a joint information, but generally in a situation like this where the accused have allegedly engaged in a crime together, it's very likely that they would be tried together. And most importantly, this is a case about sexual assault, and no court would want the complainant to testify five different times.
Right.
So it's likely that they would be tried together as it's in the public interest. But the accused do have a right to bring a seventh application, which means to have a separate trial. But in a case like this, again, it's highly unlikely.
Gotcha. Okay. What kind of penalties does sexual assault carry? What are these men facing?
So it depends on the election of the Crown. If the Crown proceeds by summary election, then there's a limit of 18 months. That's the maximum amount that the accused could face. If the Crown proceeds by an indictment, then the maximum amount is 10 years. But this really depends on the facts of the case and other specifics like injuries to the complainant and various different factors. But so those are sort of the general ranges, but it really depends on the facts of the case.
as we said, not much happened in court yesterday, first appearance, you know, and they just went through the process. Afterwards, London police held a news conference, of course, and a lot more was learned there. And there was a lengthy apology from the chief of police of London for how long it took to get this case to court. 6 years, roughly. What does that have any impact on the court proceedings at all? I mean, it almost sounds like an admission of failure on the part of the police department. Does that play into the legal proceedings at all?
Not at all. The criminal case is completely separate from the investigation of the police. The apology is good on the police for taking that on, because if the complainant is found to be a victim of sexual assault, certainly no one should be waiting around for the police to find that the investigation is viable. But in terms of the actual criminal case, it has to be conducted on the merit of the evidence, and the Crown has to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. So that's completely separate as to what the police have done or not done up until this point.
Gotcha. One last question. In respect to the victim, as you said, in terms of how they would be tried, all five together, and minimizing the impact on the victim having to testify in court, her identity is being concealed. That is standard, right? There's no special considerations here. That's how these proceedings typically take place under Canadian law.
That's right. There's a big interest in encouraging victims of sexual assault to report these crimes. And a big part of that is having to have your name publicized. It could be for a normal person, a celebrity, or anyone. So this, the fact that there is a publication ban that was ordered yesterday, I believe, for the complainant as well as two witnesses, it's very standard in a sexual assault case.
Right. Okay. So your anticipation is it'll probably be at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years before we actually see this come to trial, if it does actually go to trial.
Yes. The accused do have a right to be tried within a reasonable time.
Yeah.
Again, that depends on if it's at the Ontario Court of Justice, that's the presumptive ceiling is 18 months, but it goes to the Superior Court of Justice, that's 30 months. So the court will be very mindful of making sure the trial is completed by then. But again, there are limitations with the system, which will lead to this delay.
Does the fact that this is such a high-profile case and will be so closely watched, does that have any bearing on, you know, how they try and get this done quickly? Or, I mean, does it have any impact, or is it just like any other case that's in the system?
I would say that there's a lot of people watching this case and following it along, Jeff. So everyone involved would be very aware of that. But the criminal justice system has to be fair for everyone involved, which means that, let's say there's someone else scheduled to have their trial during 2025, the Crown isn't going to bump their trial out further to prioritize this trial. That's generally not how things are done. But there are some things that can happen behind the scenes, but this trial would not get sort of special treatment, so to say, than any other trial for any other ordinary citizen, if I can put it that way.
Right. Okay. Great information. Thank you so much, Hamna. I appreciate you being here today.
You're very welcome.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.